All right, hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show, and it is Emmett Fox Friday, and we are here talking about find and use your inner power as we do each week. We are on a section called Spotlights. Depending on your book, it may be at page 20, it may be somewhere different. But this one is going to be kind of fun because it's short, punchy little statements that actually have a lot of meaning and information to them. So we'll have to go over them pretty briefly. There's seven of these little great sayings that he has on this page. But a lot of great ideas that we can apply to kind of just life right now and thinking about where we are. We're still obviously in this quarantine situation where we're at home, most of us. And so, just think about that and what's going on and where we want to go in our near future and so forth as we think about some of these ideas. So thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being here each week. Check out our show on Sunday as well. I'm your host, Jason Napolitano, and I have Mr. Chris Sheridan on the line. How you doing, Chris?
Really doing good today.
Awesome. Great. All right. Very good. It's fantastic. There's a good energy in the air today. It's a good energy. I feel it. So let's share that with our listeners. All right. We're going to jump right into Spotlights. I'll read the first one, and then we'll just go back and forth. So.
Okay. A little review on who Emmett Fox is and context.
Please, go for it.
So this is from Emmett Fox. He was part of the New Thought movement. Came from the UK to America, I think, in the 30s. Sometimes associated with the Unity Church. He had his own church services in New York, very popular, but only gave 20-minute sermons. And he's kind of known for small pamphlets and these short bits of wisdom that, instead of a long one, this short one really has a lot of density and you can really get a lot out of it. And uses a lot of Christian as it was the case at the time, language, but it's very metaphysical and esoteric, symbolic, and mystic more than it is a dogmatic thing. And he mentions that, but New Thought, and this would have been from the late 30s, right? 37, 38?
Yeah, exactly.
This particular compilation. All right, so just,
No,
just
thank you for a little context. Yeah. Absolutely. And probably best well known for his book, The Sermon on the Mount, which is a perennial bestseller. It's a New Thought sort of interpretation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And then, of course, his other, which we did do a podcast on that. So if you're interested in that, check that out. And then The Golden Key is this short little pamphlet that's just amazing. I highly recommend that you read that. And also, again, check out our podcast on that one as well. Just go back in the list and you can find that one. All right, so we will start now with Spotlights. God is not interested in your past history, but in what you are now. Now is the day of salvation.
You are healthy because you are happy, not happy because you are healthy. A healthy body grows out of a happy mind.
If you have no time for prayer and meditation, you will have lots of time for sickness and trouble.
Where you stand today does not matter. It is the direction in which you are moving and the rate at which you travel, that count.
The biggest fool of all is the man who bothers about outer things and neglects his own spiritual development.
The only depression that you can meet is the depression thought in your own consciousness.
All right, and last but not least, you really do not know John Smith. You only know the idea that you form of John Smith. All right. So
it's like Confucius or something.
It really is. It's short and really, punchy and really bang. Powerful.
They're kind of on the nose, He's not really holding back.
No, there's not a lot of heavy interpretation needed in most of these, but we'll look at each one, just to kind of go over it.
Yeah, let's go through them.
All right, so the first one that I read is God is not interested in your past history, but what you are now. Now is the day of salvation. That, of course, resonates and reminds us of Jesus' teaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within. It's not something to seek for outside. And he talked about in the Gospel of Thomas that, if someone tells you that the kingdom of heaven is, under the sea, then the fish will precede you. If it's something in the sky, then the birds will precede you, et cetera, et cetera. So there's the idea that there's this you know, sort of eternal nowness of salvation is something that has to happen in this very moment. It's not something to shoot for in the future, right?
Yeah, and even if the, well, let me just go straight to Martin Luther King Jr. Even though right before his death, he did say, you know, I might not make it to the promised land, is really, you know, pulling from Moses, but, you know, you'll have to follow through and carry the torch without me. I'm paraphrasing at that point. But that's what any good leader should do, is choose a successor so that the movement, if it's that important, should transcend the leader. But going back to his speech in Washington on the steps of the Lincoln Monument, he says, you know, I have a dream that one day this will happen, and that a black child and a white child can sit down at a table of brotherhood and everything. But he kept on saying, I have this dream today. Mm-hmm. So he might be dreaming at the point about maybe some future improvement, which, you know, we're actually seeing a lot of that now. But I have the dream today. Okay. So that was the very nowness of it.
Oh, good distinction.
Even
yeah.
Something you're working on. But and he says that over, you know, I have a dream. No, he goes, I have that dream today. I have this dream today. Today, I have a dream. So that was so present. Mm-hmm. Even though it seems like the content of the dream is a faraway thing or a future thing, but to have that now, and that can be in healing, you know, I feel a healed state today while you're sick.
Yeah.
But have that thought, that feeling of success or achievement or freedom, even when you're not really there now, but the dream is now. You know, it's mind science.
Yeah,
you're connecting your mind with this vision, and you're doing it in the now. Oh, someday I'll be happy. No, I'm happy because I have this dream that one day we will sit at the
great
table.
Great distinction. Thank you for bringing that up. And you know, the first part of that is profound as well, when he says God is not interested in your past history. You know, so many of us are dragging around guilts and condemnation and, you know, fears and, you know, this or that failed attempt at this or that thing, you know, all this stuff that we drag around us like a heavy bag of junk trailing behind us. You know, God's not interested in that. Let it go. You know, let go of it.
Yeah, and it's not just the junk we're carrying around. It's the attitude of this is the way things are. Mm-hmm. You know, so that there's even more of it. Yeah, I have to let it go.
Well, it just piles more of that on if you don't yeah. let it go, right?
And you're then just accumulating how can you, more as you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's jump ahead. So, you're a healthy. I'm sorry. You read this one. This was yours.
Where are we? You're healthy because you are happy, not happy because you are healthy. Healthy body grows out of a happy mind. Again, it's having it in your mind first, and feeling this happiness, and then the healthiness is a result of that.
Yeah.
Basic mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it seems contrary, because when you're in pain or you're in discomfort or you're sick or unwell in some way, or you're under mental duress or you're anxious or depressed, whatever, you know, you think, well, I you know, one day I want to feel healthy and, you know, I hope that I can feel happy again. And I think really what he's getting at is the idea that these states, you know, this the mental states and the emotional states and the spiritual states precede the healing. And, you know, and then you have to ask yourself, well, how can I be happy if I don't feel happy? You know, and this is where mind science, affirmation, visualization, prayer, you know, watching comedy movies, talking to people that make you happy, focusing on positive things and so on can do that trick. They can kind of push you over that hump of, you know, where you can get some momentum on and start actually feeling that way. And, you know, I hate to use these platitudes, but, you know, the idea of fake it till you make it oftentimes can work. And it's not so much a faking of it, but it's almost like a jump starting of it. Like, you know, how you jump start your car. Remember, you know, I don't know, young people may not know this, but if you had a car that, you know, where the battery died and it was a stick, you could start the car without the battery by pushing it and kind of bumping it into, you know, you'd sort of pop the clutch and it would, you know what I'm talking about, right? You remember this
yeah,
procedure?
Second gear,
second,
the best
right?
Gear for
yeah.
Second gear, get going, pop the clutch and
for the bump start. Yeah. And so it's kind of like that. And then the engine kind of gets going and, you know, the battery was drained, but then, you know, if your generator's working, it'll charge back up. And it's that same sort of idea, really, you know, so you kind of got to get that happiness going in yourself with some, you know, if it's looking at kittens online for you, or if it's, you know, watching videos about, you know, growing organic vegetables, or, you know, or it's watching, you know, Reverend Ike. I mean, whatever it is that makes you happy, do that thing and build that happiness. And then that healthy body will grow out of that healthy mind. So that's a deep way to look at that. All right, let's move on to the next one. If you have no time for prayer and meditation, you have lots of time for sickness and trouble. You want to jump on that?
Yeah, wow. That's like a warning on
this. Yeah, right.
Well, and that's kind of the number one. It's funny that he was talking about this in the 30s, but that seems to be the two things I hear most often with not building a meditation practice is that I don't have the time. And the other one is, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right, or I don't know how. Mm-hmm. You've written a book, where you can meditate, that kind of takes care of the how. But I like this. If you don't make time for prayer and meditation, then you will have made time for sickness and trouble.
Yeah.
To link those two together is like,
oh, it's huge.
Wow.
Yep. especially at a,
maybe I should meditate.
Especially at a time when the benefits of meditation were not as widely known, you know? So the term meditation that they're using is more of a contemplation, or kind of a, like an affirmation, or it's sort of a treatment idea. But, you know, there was also the idea of the time for stillness and, you know, time for prayer and your sort of communion with God time and so on that exists in New Thought. And that's also thought of as meditation as well. So,
and it's time apart from the world and your troubles and your involvements and work and family, you know, all this stuff, that it's a moment, or, you know, set of moments where you're aside in your room or your closet or wherever you can go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what he's really saying there in essence is, you know, you've got to do the spiritual maintenance on yourself, or the, you know, to go back to a car metaphor, or the car is going to break down, you know. And this is, you know, your prayer and your meditation are like your oil changes and your tune-ups and so on. They're like a, excuse me, like a spiritual tune-up, basically. So if you don't make time for that, it's just like you didn't make time to change the oil in your car and your engine seizes up and you're out one engine. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, right? Actually, that brings up a really good point. And I've one that I've heard from, you know, 12-step meetings in sobriety recovery is that it's not the quality or the state of your spiritual condition. It's the maintenance of your spiritual condition. That at least you're trying, you are setting aside those moments in the day. You are shutting off your mind and senses from the outside world to go inward and contemplate and put forth meaningful prayers and quiet meditation the best that you can, and that you're showing up and doing it and sincerely you know, trying to get better. It's not, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right, or I'm just not spiritual enough, or I'm not a guru, how can I meditate or levitate? It's the maintenance of it. You're lifting the hood and you're just trying every day to
absolutely,
you know, absolutely. Do the thing.
It's so much,
you know,
more important to have a regular consistent practice than it is to, you know, to try to meditate for 8 hours or something like this, you know, just to do something for 5 or 10 minutes a day, every day, and show up for it at a specific time and in a specific place in your house or wherever you do your meditation is, you know, it's just a recipe for success. It's getting you clicking on, or it's getting, you know, firing on all cylinders, as it were, because it's like, it, you know, it carries over into other parts of your life, because you begin to get the discipline and the order, but you get the benefits from the meditation. It's, and you're teaching yourself how to show up for yourself and part of, you know, your spiritual need that often goes unaddressed, let's say. All right, so let's move on to the next one. This one is yours. Where you stand today.
Where you stand today does not matter. It is the direction in which you are moving and the rate at which you travel that count. So, yeah, again, it's not the quality or status, maybe, of where I am right now, whether it's your health, your financial status, or relationship status, that if you're looking in the right direction, or at least trying to look in the right direction, seeking that, and the rate at which you travel, that you're moving. You know, it's not, you're not waiting for something to happen. Okay, well, then I'll start moving. It's start moving. Even if you're doing something poorly and it's not exactly the right direction, at least it's, if you're doing it with the intent and the attitude of wanting to do the right thing and get on the right direction, sometimes the moving, the momentum will always actually helps. But set forth where you're going, where you're pointed, and this speed, it's maybe not so how quickly you're going to get enlightened or, you know, feel this peace and happiness, but that you're moving forward, that you're not slowing yourself down, you're not mired in other things, that you have a, you've cleared a path and you are pointing in a direction that you want to go. And that's momentum, it's trajectory.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a fantastic way of putting that. All right, I'm not even going to add to that. So I'll do the next one. The biggest fool of all is the man who bothers about outer things and neglects his own spiritual development. That one sounds pretty self-explanatory, but I mean, if you think about it, how many of us neglect our own spiritual development? We take the time to, you know, do work things and to think about, you know, entertaining ourselves or, you know, going to sports events, and, you know, we think about what we're going to eat and all, you know, all these different things. And then just like you said, you know, how many people complain about how, you know, how they don't have any time for meditation or they don't have time for some prayer and contemplation or whatever, but it's that we're neglecting that. You know, we can make time for whatever we want to make time for, you know, unless we're locked up or, you know, our sort of liberty is impeded in some sense. But, you know, 99.9% of us can make time to do the things that we want to do. It's just a matter of prioritizing, really. So, you know, it,
yeah, we already are.
Yeah.
In some, there's some parts of our lives or amounts of a day that we are doing what we want to do. And that may be watching TV. It might be gossiping on Twitter. It might be doing a lot of other things that maybe if you just did a little less of, you would really open up. I think that space is already
there. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, see, I didn't make that distinction. Good point. So you are doing things you want to do. It's just maybe not the best things for you. So that's where that prioritizing has to come into play, doesn't it? It's like, okay, I prioritize my spiritual development more. I take the time that I need to develop from within more, you know, and that's the thing, you know, we're an extroverted country, an extroverted society in general here in the US, and in, you know, they're a little more introverted in Canada, but, you know, for the most part, we're extroverted. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so
cold.
You're inside a lot more. Exactly. You develop from within, but you know, so
apologies to my Canadian
friends. It is
cold.
I actually was talking to a guy up there as a guest on a podcast there yesterday, which I'll talk about another time, but yeah, I mean, he said it was snowing. He's like 2 days ago I was out in a tank top and today it's snowing. So he's like, this is Canada. So all right, we'll move on to the next one. At any rate, let me go back to that really quickly and prioritize spiritual development. You know, Jesus said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you. You know, so it's basically you're seeking that spiritual thing first, and then, you know, all the material stuff falls into line, you know, because you're shooting for that higher understanding, that higher development. So that's something to remember. All right, so this next one is yours. The only depression.
The only depression that you can meet is the depression thought in your own consciousness. So this one kind of goes, it's like the other half of that, you're healthy because you're happy, that it comes from within first. So you're depressed because you have depressed thoughts. And depression oftentimes has something to do with the past. Anxiety generally is about the future or uncertainty or, you know, fears of things, what may happen. Depression is usually it's like a concentration and a compilation of all the things that maybe went wrong. See, here it is again, just like mm-hmm. my first marriage, you know, now my business failed. You know, you can build this thing up. And a lot of the times it's, you know, it's on external things, but you've internalized it, and now you feel depressed because you feel depressed. And I know that sounds, you know, doesn't make any sense. But that's kind of what mm-hmm. he's getting at. It's this depressive feeling. Now, the triggers, the incidents, the circumstances in your life, yeah, some of them are harsh. Some of them suck. And it's okay to feel bad about them, because there's, you know, we go through a lot in life, you know. But depression is, you know, almost think of like a, you know, like what a physical depression is. Okay. If there's, like if you put a bowling ball in the middle of a bed, it would make a depression. It would make this impression, but it kind of goes down. And if you have that, no matter what you're working on or what you have, it's going to fall down this hole, this depression. It's going to, you know, gravity is going to pull it into this lowest central point. I always find it good to think of some physical external thing in a way when you're dealing
that's
with
that's a good way to look at it,
like some metaphor. I mean, that's what all the great systems of, you know, symbolic, you know, alchemy, Freemasonry, and things like that. There's an outer operation or action that ties in with the inner. So depression, yeah, just kind of look at it like that, that there's a, like a pothole or something in a road. It's going to suck every tire of every car in there, and it's going to clunk. It's going to make, you know, your steering go out of whack. I guess.
Yeah, right. That's all right. That's okay. Today is the car metaphors day. Well, yeah, you know, yeah. Another thing.
So, but pull that up, pull that center up, and, you know, don't let these things fall, because a lot of good stuff can fall into the depression too. Mm-hmm. And those are the handholds that you need to pull yourself out. Call.
Another thing I got out of this, I'll just be really brief, is that, you know, that the only depression that you can meet is the depression thought in your own consciousness. So in other words, I think he's also hinting at the idea that there's really not such a thing as depression. It's not a noun per se. You know, it's a sort of complex of affect and experiences and emotions and, you know, actions that you're taking that the depression takes a form of, but it's not a thing unto itself. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I think we get caught up in thinking some of these mental states and these emotional and physiological / mental emotional type issues are a thing. And then they need to be either medicated, which I'm not saying no one needs medication for anything, but I'm saying we definitely tend to pathologize and over medicate in this age that we live in. And so I think what he's trying to say here is that, you know, it's not a noun. It's a verb, and it's more, you know, there's more to it than just this thing. It's not like a tumor where there's a physical thing there. You can see a tumor. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what he's getting at as well.
Yeah.
And I think so, you know, there is a part of it that it has thought and emotion, and certainly there's bodily and chemical things that go on. I'm not saying that's not a true thing, and everyone's depression is going to manifest in a different way. I'm not saying, you know, and no one needs any kind of medication. But what I'm saying is it has multiple causes and things that contribute to it. So I think it's important to think about things in that way. Like there's multiple factors involved, and thought is one of the big ones. Thought is one of the big ones. So if you can work on that thought, you can help get yourself out of that depression rut that you were talking about. You can climb up those walls and get the heck out of that sooner than later. All right. So this last one then we'll go to. You really do not know John Smith. You only know the idea that you form of John Smith. I like that one. I'll say a little bit, then I'll hand it over to you, and then we'll wrap it up. That's pretty clear. So, you know, this is one of the things that I think we get really confused about when we're working with other people and trying to communicate and so on. We form an idea of someone, and then we basically project that idea of who we think they are onto them. And then, of course, we treat them like that. So if we form a negative opinion of someone right away, you know, from a first bad impression or something like that, then we carry that around and we, you know, we don't like that person for the rest of the time that we see them. Maybe someone at work rubbed us the wrong way or, you know, was rude to us, quote unquote, or something happened and we misinterpreted it, or maybe they were actually, you know, being malevolent, who knows? But the point is like, you know, that impression that's formed is what we believe that person is. And that's something that we carry around, and that Jung called a projection. And oftentimes those projections have a lot to do with us and how we're navigating through the world, and maybe things about ourselves that are in our own personal shadow that we don't like about ourselves. We hang them on another person and conveniently point to them and say, see, they're the problem. You know, it's not my greed, it's their greed. They're the greedy one. And all the while ignoring our own greed, for example. So do you have anything to add to that one?
Yeah, it's, well, you can't judge somebody's insides by looking at their outsides.
Yeah.
And that's a general rule I think applies everywhere, even ourselves. You know, sometimes we can judge ourselves wrongly or inaccurately, let's call it that. By just what we choose to see about ourselves. And a lot of times we don't have a favorable opinion of ourselves, and that's why we project on others. But, you know, there's these aspects of ourselves that we don't see, that we can't see. We all have a blind spot as well to ourselves, not just other people. Of course we do with other people. You could look at somebody's action, their outward actions or words, and say, oh my gosh, that guy's a jerk. But you don't know what happened to them that day or what they're dealing with. You know, everyone carries a heavy burden, so be kind to everyone you meet, as the saying goes. But we all have this blind spot of our own selves, and we don't know what some of our qualities are that we could help somebody or inspire somebody, because we don't see it after an interaction, and they go home and repeat something that you had said, and it changes their life, or at least changes their day. You know, so we can't really fully judge ourselves either by what we either choose to observe or what we can observe, because there's that part that we can't. And others might see us.
Good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just to tack this onto it, I like what you were saying about the part, you know, those parts of ourselves that we can't see. And that, again, that's part of that shadow, you know, that Jungian idea of the shadow, those things that we shove down, you know, into this kind of the dark recesses of the unconscious in our own mind, of things that we don't accept, things that we don't like, things that we, you know, that's not us, or we're not capable of those kinds of destructive things, or we don't like this or that about ourselves. We put it down there, you know. Marie-Louise von Franz, who was one of Jung's great disciples and probably his closest, you know, sort of disciple, I use that word kind of loosely, but she used to say that, you know, the shadow was like our backside. We can't see the backside of us. We can't see our back, you know, but someone else can see it. And how we see it in ourselves is in other people through this projection process. And so, you know, do be careful when you're projecting negative things onto people. You know, you're making snap judgments out of certain types of people or this or that kind of person, that those aren't things that maybe you yourself are not willing to look at in your own self. So that's something to look at. All right. Well, I think we're at the end of the show. Do you have anything else to add? All right.
I think that's great. I like these spotlights.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I like how we, you know, these are just little things.
Yeah,
to
little chunks of wisdom that you can chew on. I like this episode. This was a fun one. Thank you, Emmett Fox, for sharing your wisdom with us. All right, so thanks everyone for showing up. We appreciate you being here each week. Support us at anchor.fm/cosmiceye and check out Chris's book, The Spirit in the Sky. That's available on Amazon. Also, Chris has a new show that he's doing called The Daily Dose, and that's on Instagram at ChrisSheridan333. Please do share our shows if you can, and share, you know, with your friends if you like what we're doing here. You know, we're trying to, in our own little way here, make the world a little better place to live, increase the consciousness, increase the peace, increase the idea of, you know, spirituality, sustainability, you know, spiritual development, the esoteric wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're for those things, please share us, you know, and start your own shows and write and share stuff that you find as well. So thanks for joining us here on the Cosmic Eye Show. Check us out on Sunday as well. We have our longer show that we do on Sunday, so there'll be a new one up. Join us here each week on Friday for our Emmett Fox Friday shows. Thanks again. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless.